if you have your Bibles with you, if you turn me to Acts 4, 23 to 31. So Acts 4, 23, 31. As soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had said. And when they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices together in prayer to God. O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant, saying, why were the nations so angry? Why did they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. In fact, this has happened here in this very city. For Herod Antipas, Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant whom you anointed. But everything they did was determined beforehand according to your will. And now, O Lord, hear their threats. Give us your servants great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. Father, we just pray your blessing on your word here this morning. And I pray that, God, that you would stir our hearts, Lord, as we look to your word, and even as we think of things that are happening in our day, and that, Lord, that there'd be a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit in all of our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning I want to share about being ready as a church for what God is doing in our day. And thankfully, we are seeing some good things taking place around the world. We are seeing people coming to faith in Christ. We are seeing churches growing. And we're seeing that in our own church. And a meeting that we're with some pastors here in our northeastern section, they too have been seeing growth over these last few months. United States, they've been seeing growth as well, and even experiencing some revivals there. And we're looking for the same thing in our country. And I think it's overdue. Revival is overdue in our own country. And interesting, as I went to a Rise Up conference in Edmonton there a week and a half ago, the pastor from Jesus Culture, Benning Lissaker, was there, and he was sharing that he believes that we are at a place where something big spiritually is going to happen in North America, and especially in Canada. And it's kind of good to hear that the Americans are thinking that there is going to be something good for Canada here as well. And interesting, as he was speaking about that, and he expressed the belief that, he says, we're really close to this revival, to this moving of the Holy Spirit being poured out in our nation. And he went kind of into a long description, which I won't do, but he compared it to a child being born. And when the head is seen and just starting to come out, you know that the birth is going to happen. The baby is going to be born. And he said that's how close he feels that we are at to see a spiritual awakening in our nation. I've been reading books on revival, and I kind of stopped one there for a while because it's so long. But I started on another book on deliverance. And it has an interesting name. It's called Pigs in the Parlor. And it ended up talking about a time where God, as it comes to the conclusion of that book, where God is about to move in our world. And I found it very interesting, his illustration. And he said it was a word that God gave him in a dream. And I thought it was kind of appropriate, especially with what happened last night. And says, this is the world series. This is the final conflict between the forces of evil and the forces of righteousness. This is to determine the world championship. Now, I know many of us were disappointed last night that the Blue Jays didn't win, but they still, it was a remarkable season for them, and that's in the natural, but there's something spiritual that is taking place in our world and our nation, and it's a day of spiritual battle and spiritual victory. And I think we need to realize there is a time of a spiritual outpouring that is at the door, and something is to break over our nations. And we're already in a world series spiritually about that. This author also obviously liked baseball because he shared to another illustration about baseball and also to help us to realize that we are close to a big spiritual breakthrough. And I shared this with the group on Wednesday night. Anyway, he shares a story of a man passing by a ball game of young children. And so he asked the boy, how is the game going? And the boy replied that it was going fine. And then he asked, what is the score of the game? And the boy replied, well, it's 35-0. The man then asked, then, whose favor? The boy replied, the other team, which caused the man to say that your team is getting beaten really bad. And the boy replied, no, sir, we are not getting beaten very badly at all, which caused him to ask another question, how do you figure that you're not being beaten when they were 35-0 behind? The boy then explained, sir, we haven't come up to bat yet. And see, the author goes on to explain that this is sometimes a picture of the church. The devil has been running up the score. But now is the time for the church to be at bat and to take the offensive and defeat the enemy. So what time is it? How close are we to see something great concerning the kingdom of God and a spiritual awakening in our time? And as you do read about revivals, you will find that revivals take place or spiritual awakenings take place when the world is at its worst. And I think as we look at our world today, man, there's a lot of things that aren't so good that are happening out there. And I think we're at that place where God is about to move and interject into human history once again. And this pastor from Jesus Culture Church in Sacramento, he spoke about the need of us as Christians to really get focused on the Lord and what the Lord is doing. He said there's a lot of distractions out there that are happening around us, you know, especially on social media and the political world. And he said, you know, Christians really need to get their focus right on God. And that we need to really be looking to God and hearing from God what he has to say at this time. And get back to prayer. And for me, I really felt going to that conference that there'd be a word from him that would be a word for us, a word for me. And I kind of found that that was true, that as a church, you know, we've really been praying. We've been really seeking God all through summer. We kept those prayer meetings going. And I know a lot of other groups here connected to our church are also been praying. And I really believe that that's something that we really need to keep doing, because we need to hear what the Lord is saying to us, what the Lord is telling us to do. And we want to be a church. We want to be a body that is readying itself for what God is wanting to do in these days. And as we go back to the scriptures that we just read, the book of Acts, it's an excellent guide for us as we read that to see how did the early church respond to all the things that were going on in their world, but also how they responded to things that started happening to them, even in a spiritual awakening like the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the book of Acts. And so we're not going to go through the whole book of Acts, but we are going to be touching on various aspects as we look at what the early church did and how they handled certain things as it was taking place as God began to move by his Holy Spirit. And one of the things I want to talk about, first of all, kind of get it out of the way, is some of the bad things that take place when God begins to move. And we need to recognize that sometimes bad things come along when there is a spiritual awakening. So even as God moves, there needs to be an expectation that there's still going to be some retaliation from the enemy. The devil is not happy when God begins to move. And so we need to expect some opposition as God begins to move in our lives, in our hearts, in our churches, and in our nation. And interesting, in the book of Acts, it tells us the very first people to kind of raise up arms against an awakening taking place were the spiritual people, the people that should have known better. And the Bible talks about the priests and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they didn't like what was going on. They were seeing people come to faith in Jesus Christ. They were seeing people walk away from them and began to follow these disciples. And they became very angry and jealous of the crowds that were now following the disciples. And that resulted in some threats starting to take place. And Acts 4, verse 18 is some of those. It says, "So they called the apostles back in and commanded them never again to speak or teach in the name of Jesus." You will find that when God begins to move, there'll be some people, they don't like that. And so they're going to tell you, "Don't you ever say anything about Jesus again to me." And then it goes on to say, the council then threatened them further. But finally, they let them go because they didn't know how to punish them without starting a riot, for everyone was praising God. So when God begins to move, we need to realize that not everyone's going to be happy about that. We're going to be happy about that, but there's going to be other people in the world, they're not going to be happy about that. Religious people, leaders of other faith, even Christian people that, you know, they're Christian in name only. They've never really made that decision to follow Jesus Christ. And because of that, you know what, there's going to be some things, opposition, there's going to be some threats, there's going to be some persecution, there may even be some violence that may take place. And today we represent, or are supposed to be representing the persecuted church around the world, because even these last months, thousands of people have given their lives to follow Jesus Christ. They were murdered because they were Christian people. So things like that, you know, not everyone's happy when they see multitudes coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And that then could also go into churches as well, because Christians start to argue with one another. And sometimes, you know, people get in there about, you know, spiritual superiority, that I'm more spiritual than you are. Some discontentment can come in. Prejudice can come in. Wrong motives can come in. Even people begin to lie. Story in the Bible in Acts chapter 5 talks about Ananias and Sapphira. And many of the people were, one of the responses of the move of God, of the Holy Spirit, people began to give very generously. And people began to sell their properties and give the money to the church. And so that was happening quite a bit. And so there was one couple that decided, well, we want to get in that too. We want to look just as spiritual as these other people do. And so they sold some land and got some money from it, but they didn't want to give all of it to the church. They wanted to keep half to themselves. And so, but they decided to cover that up and said that this is the whole thing. We bought this land and here's all the money. We want to be like those other people that were being generous and do that. And so basically they lied. And so sometimes even as moves of God happen, people will want to be recognized, but actually they're living a lie. And that's not a good thing. Or withholding is not a good thing. You go on to chapter 6, verse 1 talks more about some of the things that were happening even amongst the believers. And verse 1 of chapter 6 says, "But as believers rapidly multiplied, there was rumblings of discontent." I'm thinking, how can you have that when God is moving, people in the church get discontent? And the Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. And so even while God is moving, sometimes that upsets people because they're seeing other things and they start focusing on other things, and discontentment can come in, complaining can come in, discrimination can come in, and things of that nature can happen. And those are things that we need to be on guard against, to watch ourselves. Growth can create problems. We don't think of that, but it does. It can happen. And chapter 6 and 7 of the book of Acts, it talks further about persecution. People having fake charges drawn up against other Christians. Even execution, where Christians were killed because of their faith. And we have this story of Stephen, the first martyr. And after that, how a great wave of persecution arose. Acts chapter 8, 1. Saul was one of the witnesses, and he agreed completely with the killing of Stephen. A great wave of persecution began that day, sweeping over the church in Jerusalem, and all the believers except the apostles were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. So even though the gospel was spreading, things became very serious in regards to your faith, where Christian people were being imprisoned, where Christian people were being put to death, where people thought that they were doing God a favor by killing Christians. And, you know, that continues today. We are very blessed here in Canada. Sometimes we think we're being persecuted. We don't know what persecution is. Go to some of these other countries of the world where when you accept Christ, there's a death sentence on your life. So if you ever got baptized publicly, people saw that, you probably wouldn't make it out of the building before you were killed. And so we're very blessed here in Canada. But yet we're to expect, you know what, persecution will arise. And as you continue to read throughout the book of Acts, you'll see that there's also encounters with sorcerers, witchcraft. And we need to realize there is a real battle that will take place. It's like you're in the World Series, and you really got to fight to win that battle against all the powers of witchcraft, of darkness, of manipulation, all those kinds of things. And then, you know, things can get even more worse. Because the government starts to get involved. The government starts to see, look, we're seeing a lot of this persecution take place. It seems that people don't like Christian people, so maybe we should jump on board and make sure that we continue to get more votes. And so it tells us in Acts 12:1-3, it says, about that time, King Herod Agrippa began to persecute some believers in the church. He had the apostle James, John's brother, killed with a sword. And when Herod saw how much it pleased the Jewish people, he also arrested Peter. And so you can go on and on as you read through the book of Acts about not everything was good that was happening. There were some bad things that were taking a place, even though there was a spiritual awakening that was taking place. And so that's something that we need to be aware of, that not everyone's going to be happy about your decision to follow Jesus Christ. Some people are going to be upset with you. Some people are going to get mad at you. Some people are going to start to persecute you because you've making a choice to follow Jesus Christ. However, our focus is not to be on the opposition. It's not to be on all the conspiracies or possible hardships that we may experience. As you look through the book of Acts, you'll see that that was not their focus. They were not there at all. And so I want to talk about some good things that happen when there are spiritual awakenings, and those are the things, obviously, that we want to be see, and that we should ready ourselves during that time. First and foremost is that people get saved. They come into a relationship and a belief in Jesus Christ, looking to Jesus to come in their lives and to forgive them of their sins. You know, sometimes that can be a suddenly. People start recognizing their need of God, their need to change their lives. Sometimes it can be through conviction of sin, of living in a way that is not pleasing to God. Or there's people that, you know what, I'm in a trap right now. I need to get out. I need to change my life. And those things start to happen. And they follow through, just like we see here, of being baptized to signify they now desire to follow Jesus Christ and want to leave that old life behind. That's the best part, that when the Holy Spirit begins to move upon a nation, upon a church, or upon a group of people, we see people coming to faith in Jesus Christ. That's our most important commission. That's the most important thing that can ever happen. Everything else is really the gravy. That's the most important, to see people come to faith in Jesus Christ. Acts 2:41 says, those who believe what Peter said, they were baptized and added to the church that day about 3,000 in all. That's a pretty good day that they experienced. And as you continue to read, it just continues to climb. Great numbers of people coming to faith in Christ. And the early church was excited about that, and that was their goal. Keep preaching. Keep telling others about Jesus. And even though there's persecution, even though some of us are being put in prison, even some of us are dying, we got to get the gospel out. That's the most important thing of sharing the gospel, that people might come to faith in Jesus Christ. So spiritual awakenings cause people to come to faith. in Jesus Christ. It also encourages and helps people to get excited because when you start seeing new people come to faith, it's kind of exciting. When you hear a story like you heard this morning, it's kind of exciting. You say, yeah, that's really good. And there's a lot of people that can probably identify with Jesse and their lives. And it's like, yeah, God's making a difference, man. People are coming back to the Lord and serving the Lord. This is exciting. And really, that's the most important part of any spiritual awakening, that we see people coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Souls, people, that's what's important. Acts chapter 4:4 says, and many of the people who heard their message believed. So the number of men who believe now totaled about 5,000 people. And so we see this increase as you keep reading the chapters in the book of Acts, that more and more and more people are coming to faith in Christ in the thousands. So that's pretty good. And then as you continue to read on, we start to see signs, wonders, healings, miracles take place. And that's something we really need to see today more of. And certainly has been a prayer of mine as well, praying for that. Acts 2:43 says, a deep sense of awe came over the people and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And you go into Acts chapter 3, right away there's a man who was crippled, couldn't walk. He gets healed, causes quite a commotion. Chapter 5, many people are healed. Many people are delivered from demons. And throughout the book of Acts, you'll see the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk. People are raised from the dead. Even sick people are healed. Sometimes just being close to other Christians, being close to the apostles. Unlike Acts chapter 5, 15 and 16, it says, as a result of the apostles' work, sick people were brought out into the streets on beds and mats so that Peter's shadow might fall across some of them as he went by. Crowds came from the villages around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those possessed by evil spirits, and they were all healed. Man, I think we need to be praying for that. We would see all people healed, whatever might be the problem, whether it's a spiritual, physical, emotional, whatever it is, God is our healer. Then later on, Acts chapter 5, as you're going through the book of Acts, we have the miraculous deliverance from jail. How cool is that? Peter and the apostles were thrown in jail because there was a mighty miracle and people were following them. The leaders didn't like that. They threw them in jail. But an angel came and opened up the door and they didn't run away. They went back to the temple and they started preaching. So when they went to look for them in the jail, they weren't there. And they sent out the temple guards trying to find them. And here they are. They're not trying to hide. They're out there preaching the word of God again. And then in chapter 12, we see the apostle Peter. Well, he's brought in. He's put in prison. And we see that King Herod is ready to kill him. But again, another spiritual awakening happens, a miracle takes place, an angelic intervention, and they lead Peter out of jail. And then, of course, we have that prayer meeting that takes place a little bit later on where he shows up at the prayer meeting and they're praying in faith and they're shocked that God answered their prayers and Peter was set free. So some pretty cool things start to happen when there are spiritual awakenings take place. Then you move further, Acts chapter 8. You're seeing God use not just apostles, but he's using other people in the church to do great exploits. And we see a man by the name of Philip that was part of the Jerusalem church, and he was used to start a revival in Samaria. And also that he has an opportunity to speak to a leading official, a government official of another country, and began to share with them the good news of Jesus Christ. And that man gives his heart to the Lord and gets baptized on that journey. So spiritual awakenings lead to revival, spreading in not just where you're at, but it begins to spread to other communities as well. And that's something I think we need to be ready to do, that we share our faith wherever we might be, and that we might see it over the whole Lakeland area and region and even our nation. And, you know, all things are possible with God, even ministering to people in government positions. And, so, you know, pray for those in authority. Pray for your government. You might be surprised who's going to come to the Lord in these next 10 years. You may be surprised. Chapter 9 talks about the conversion of Saul. Saul was a murderer. He was one of the chief people that organized the persecution of Christians, putting them in jail, attacking Christians. And, you know, sometimes you think, oh, how could that happen? Terrible thing to happen. God intervenes. God gives him an encounter. He sees a light. It causes him to be blind and caused him to realize that he's not helping out God at all. Rather, he's fighting against God. And we see that in Acts chapter 9, verse 3 says, as he is approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. And the voice replied, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go in the city and you'll be told what you must do. Friends, you never know who God may touch. Sometimes we like to write off people and say, well, I don't want that person in church. I don't want to see these kinds of people in our church. Well, I want to tell you, I welcome everybody. I don't care what you've done. You're welcome here. We want to see you come in here. And we hopefully you will encounter Jesus for yourself. And that's what happened to Saul. He encountered Jesus. He had a miraculous encounter, supernatural salvations. And friends, that's what takes place when there's a spiritual awakening. There are supernatural encounters where people are experiencing dreams and visions and sometimes something very life-changing for them that causes them to believe in Jesus and come to faith in Christ. And not just to come in faith, they sometimes become evangelists. And they're out there proclaiming the gospel and touching many people with the power of their testimony. You know, there's power in your testimony. We heard one from Jesse this morning. There's power in that testimony. And he's been sharing his story. He's been telling others that work with them. And he's telling them about Jesus. You know, you don't know who God might touch to bring it be one of the greatest events. Maybe there's another Billy Graham. Maybe there's hundreds or thousands of Billy Grahams that are about to rise up and evangelize our world. That's what can happen. Then another good thing, we see chapter 10 of the book of Acts. We have a Roman officer, has a dream with instructions of the apostle Peter to come. And Peter, he gets a dream, gets a vision to let him know that he's supposed to go to this individual who was a Roman soldier. Sometimes, again, we don't think, well, those people aren't going to be touched by God. God's not going to touch those people. Friends, you don't know who God's going to touch, who's God going to raise up. What background people might be, because the gospel is for everyone, not just certain people. It's for everyone, and he's raising up people all over the world, giving dreams and visions, bringing people to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. There are people that have come to this church because they've had a dream. They've had a vision. A few times they've caught me off guard, too, and they said, hey, I'm here today. I said, I'm glad. Thank you for coming today. Well, I had a vision. God told me to come to church today, so here I am. And I'm thinking like, okay, I didn't get any dream. Well, we want to welcome you, and we're going to pray that God's going to touch you here today, and he's going to minister to you today. But that happens, friends. There's people that have visions, dreams, impressions to be in church. We have all kinds of people that have driven by this building and said, I felt impressed to come in here. Or you won't believe this, Pastor, but my car turned in here today. And all by itself. And then I figured that maybe I should go in. And so good things like that are happening. And major another area that is good when it comes to spiritual awakening is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8 says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Friends, when there is a spiritual awakening, there is a moving of the Holy Spirit that fills us, that empowers us, that releases fire and boldness in our lives, and even a prayer language in our lives that we may even speak in other tongues. Acts chapter 10, 45, 46 is just one of many verses that talk about that. It says the Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in other tongues and praising God. Now, I know that some people say, I don't like that tongue stuff and da-da-da-da-da-da. Friends, just seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what the Lord wants. He wants to fill you. I want to be filled with God. I want to experience the fullness of God in my life. And I want to give him permission to come into my life, because there's more than just a tongue that you can speak. There's a new fire that can come in your life. There's a new boldness that can come in your life to share Jesus Christ. There's a new empowerment, a new gifting, and gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's all kinds of things, and even a new prayer language that we can pray in. Just welcome him. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to come in our lives. So awakenings, you know, they bring supernatural encounters to people. And a filling, a baptizing of the Spirit of God over our lives. You know, and we could go on reading through the book of Acts, mentioning other signs, wonders, miracles, deliverances, healings, financial generosity, angelic interventions, even evil government officials being removed. You know, sometimes you think, oh man, our government is against the Lord, and you know, we can get all upset at the government. Well, we start doing what the Bible says, and start praying for them, we might see some of those in our government all of a sudden coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And so that's what that didn't happen to Herod, but he died. He was trying to take worship on himself, and the Lord struck him because he had many opportunities to turn from his ways and turn to the Lord, and he chose not to. And so God removed him. And friends, that can happen even in our day as well. And so lots of things happen that are good during spiritual awakenings that really help us to overlook some of the bad things that take place and really press into all the good that God has for us. And then lastly, I just want to talk about that focus that we need to have in a spiritual awakening. We need to keep that focus on Jesus and be listening to what he is wanting us to do. You know, that's really important for us. Keep the focus on Jesus. There's lots of, you know, you can go here, there. There's lots of things that are vying for our attention right now. And we need to keep that, we're keeping it right on Jesus. Hebrews 12:2 says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and he's seated in the place of honor besides God's throne. So important. Keep the focus on Jesus. Keep the focus on him and hearing from him. Not from the world, not from social media, not even the latest trends in Christianity. Our help and our direction, the Bible says, comes from the Lord. And we get that by seeking him through prayer, by seeking him through reading of his word, the Bible. And that's how the early church responded. Read through the book of Acts. That's what you'll see that they did. They kept moving forward. They kept the focus about Jesus. And they kept that focus. Let us pray. Let us come together. Let us seek the Lord. And they got together. They encouraged one another. They became unified. And you'll see that throughout the whole book of Acts. And we need to do the same. Keep bringing everything to God and prayer. Acts 4:24, when they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices together. That's the report of the persecution. Together in prayer to God, O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them. We need to continue to pray. We need to continue to keep gathering and praying like we are doing. And so prayer is always a proper response, even when there is a spiritual outpouring that is taking place. You know, I shared with our Wednesday group about a phrase that we're all familiar with. I kind of joked with them. I said, I want to share this scripture verse with you. More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. And that's not a scripture verse. It's just somebody's poem that they made. And it came from the mouth of King Arthur as he was about to die. He realized that as he was dying, that prayer has the power to transcend human understanding and accomplish more than what people might imagine. You know, prayer works, and we need to keep that in our minds. I like the words that follow that in this poem, that more things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. It then goes on to say, let thy voice rise like a fountain. In other words, put really effort into that. Let's get together. Let's pray together. Let's keep prayer primary in our lives and raise that level. Even when there's spiritual awakenings taking place and spiritual things are happening, the response that we need to have is keep praying. Keep seeking the Lord. Keep getting closer to the Lord. And if you're not sure what to pray, go back to what we read at the very beginning in Acts chapter 4, 29 to 31. It says, "And now, O Lord, hear their threats. Give us your servants great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done to the name of your holy servant Jesus." And after this prayer, the meeting place shook. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they preached the word of God with boldness. Come together and pray. Point out the problems. Point out the threats. Point out the things that are happening in our society, the things that aren't good. And ask that God, help us to get the gospel message out there. Help us, Lord, in the area of signs and wonders and miracles, that they would follow us. Pray for a shaking in our world, in our church, in our own lives, where people might encounter God and get filled with the Holy Spirit. And so the proper response in desiring a spiritual awakening or experiencing the awakening itself, keep the focus on Jesus and keep on praying. That's what we need to do. So as we conclude here this morning, I just wanted to encourage you that there is a spiritual awakening taking place, whether you see it or not. I think you're all starting to see that it's beginning. And as it is beginning, yeah, there's going to be maybe some things that we'll have to battle with. Maybe there'll be some conflicts that we'll have to deal with. But that shouldn't be our focus. Our focus needs to be back on what God is doing and getting involved with that, desiring more of God and to see more giftings and anointing and miracles and more souls, more people coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And then for ourselves to be, you know, prayed up, prepared, ready to give an answer for the reason why we believe in Jesus Christ. And I'm excited for what the future holds. Even though there's some worrisome things that are out there, but my prayer for myself, and I pray for you too. Help me, Lord, to keep my eyes on you. There's so many places my eyes can go. I want to keep my eyes on you, Jesus. I want to keep my focus on you, Jesus. I want to keep my focus on your word. And I want to take every opportunity that we might take the gospel and bring it forth and touch our world and to welcome new believers, no matter what they have done, no matter what their sinful past may have been. And let me tell you, that's already happening. There's some great, great stories that are right here in this church where people used to be, "That's not who I am anymore. That got buried in the water. I've come to Jesus Christ. I got a new faith in him. I got a new reason for living. I'm not that person anymore that people are saying I am. I'm a new person in Jesus Christ."